It's not like any other podcast, coming to you straight from the heartland, where investing is told like it is. It's time for Darren Garman's Paranoid Banker Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, grandmas and grandpas. Welcome to this month's, I'm already on the month. This is this week's podcast. I'm already talking about the month, and I don't know. This week's podcast, it's good to have you aboard, and I'm glad that you've decided to join me. What I want to cover this week is a question I get a lot from investors, especially those investors that like real estate. I don't get this question so much from what I would call investors just getting into real estate or maybe making a first or a second investment. Though it does happen from time to time, it doesn't happen very often. More often than not, the topic that we're going to be covering today on this week's podcast, has to do with more experienced real estate investors, investors in general. And that's about which is better, commercial property or residential property for real estate investment. So before we jump into where I think you're going to want to get to in terms of getting that question answered at the end of the day, or night, depending on when you're listening to this. Let's talk about what commercial property is and what residential property is first. Let's kind of set some guidelines here, okay? So guidelines for residential property would be apartments, okay? Apartments is residential property. Commercial property is office buildings, shopping centers, warehouse properties that you own and lease. Okay, so everybody's familiar with the office building, and I'm talking about an office building now that is owned for investment, leased to tenants. I'm not talking about a business that owns its own office building, which in many cases that does happen, and they do actually sign a lease with itself, so to speak. It does happen, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an investor or making an investment in an office building that is going to be rented, okay, not occupied by you. Same would go for a retail property, strip center, single tenant property, maybe a property that's leased by a Best Buy, by a Barnes & Noble, I'm just throwing Walgreens, CVS, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of companies find their money is better in their business versus in real estate, so they choose to lease real estate versus own real estate. Okay. And then the third commercial property would be a warehouse property. Again, not occupied, but leased to a tenant that's paying rent for warehouse space. So which is better for an investment? What has a bigger payoff? What has better cash flow? What has higher risk? What looks better as you look into your crystal ball 2, 3, 5, 7 years down the road? Let's talk about that. And let's get into my opinion on where I think most investors need to be thinking in terms of commercial versus residential. Okay. Oh, before I jump into this, one property I'm not considering that I like a lot, by the way, are self-storage facilities. I get that question a lot too. I like self-storage facilities. And for the sake of this podcast, let's include self-storage facilities with apartments, with residential, even though I know it's really a commercial property. I know that. Just for this podcast, for the sake of this podcast, I want to include self-storage facilities, or as a lot of people call them, storage garages, with apartments because I feel the same way about self-storage facilities as I do apartments. So I think I can combine the two. Fair enough? Okay. So let's talk about commercial versus residential. Let me tell you, first start out with a story. I had a meeting with a friend of mine a couple of days ago. And let me tell you if you would have the stomach for what he told me he's involved in. Him and another guy, another gentleman, are going to build a 200,000 square foot property for a tenant to occupy. 200,000 square feet. It's a big office warehouse facility they're going to build. They have signed a lease with this company, and it is a company that isn't widely known. If you know much about the Midwest, and I'm talking like heartland of America, especially when it comes to agriculture, this company, you would know who this company is. If you're not familiar so much with heartland of America and agriculture, it's not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong. You just wouldn't know this company. So that tells you that this is a company that's known, but it's not like a company that you hear about, see, marketing or media. It's not like Pepsi or Coke or Miller Lite or Anheuser-Busch. I mean, it's not anything like that, okay? So they're building this building. They have borrowed over $5 million to build this building. They have signed personal guarantees on that $5 million plus loan to build this building. The tenant is expecting construction to be done by a certain date so they can move in. And the tenant has signed a 10-year lease on this building with them. Okay. Tell me how you feel about this so far. Do you feel comfortable with this? Well, you could say, well, it kind of depends on who the tenant is, and I would understand that. So these guys are sticking their neck out and signing personally for over $5 million loan on a 200,000 square foot building that they're going to lease for 10 years to a tenant that has some quality to them. They love this kind of stuff. They think this is the way to go. They think this is the way people should invest in real estate. This is the way. Not, you know, single family homes or rentals or a duplex, a fourplex. They're you know, you talk to them about this and their eyes glaze over. They're like, why are you wasting our time? Why are we even talking about this? They want to talk about 50,000, 100,000, 200 square foot, 200,000 square foot warehouse facilities to build, to borrow a ton of money against, build it, get a tenant in there and hope the tenant pays the rent every month so they can pay their loan payment every month. That's their definition of real estate investing. It's not mine. And they look at me like I'm crazy. I think they're crazy to be going through that process. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why I think it's crazy. I'll just name a couple. One is, what do you do 10 years from now with a 200,000 square foot building that could be empty? It's not like there's a whole bunch of prospective tenants running around saying, hey, do you have 200,000 or more square feet available for us to rent? That doesn't come along all the time. Pretty few and far between, I would think. Then there's the possibility, small as it may be, but possible. What happens if something happens to this company? What if competition gets weird and the company has financial issues and doesn't pay the rent or can't pay the rent or decides not to pay rent anymore? What happens then? I can tell you that the bank or the lender won't say, oh, you know what, guys, it's okay. You can go ahead and stop making your loan payments now for a while. That's fine. When things kind of pick up and maybe you find another tenant, because who would have known that this tenant would have financial issues and not be able to pay their rent 5 years down the road? And since we don't have a crystal ball, go ahead and just not make your loan payment until you find a tenant. What do you think the odds are that that conversation would happen? That's right, zero. There would be zero odds. That lender's going to have their hand out for that loan payment every month, no matter what. And by the way, you may be thinking, well, if it's a strong company, Darren, what's the problem? Why even worry about it? Well, remember, they used to say the same thing about Sears. Okay? So when Sears was in its day, would you think anyone would doubt the ability of Sears to make a loan payment or even a rent payment? No. Do you doubt that today? Yeah, you do. What about Macy's? There's another company. Okay. What about, I mentioned it before, Barnes & Noble? There's another company. So there are dozens of companies that years ago, if you would just whisper that, oh, they may not be able to make a lease payment, you would have been laughed out of the room. But today, you're having a conversation about it. So to think that that couldn't happen is a little naive, I think, because it could, and it doesn't matter what business it is. So with those things in mind, do you really want to go through that process and really elevate that risk that high in order to invest in real estate? My answer, no, you don't. As I said, these guys look at me like I'm crazy because I'm in the world, and many of you are too, in residential investing. And so the same thing can be said with retail properties, single tenant or multi-tenant properties. Again, just because the company's worth billions of dollars now and because it's doing great, don't think that that could be the case later on. So let's look at one of the most popular investments out there for real estate investors to invest in that is in the commercial world are pharmacies. Like, let's use Walgreens, for example. Okay, Walgreens. Walgreens leases 90%+ of their locations. So when you see a Walgreens, more than likely they're not owners, they're tenants. Okay? You've got a company that is a leader in the pharmacy industry and some retail along with that. They're all over the place. They're worth billions of dollars. They've got a great reputation in the marketplace. Everybody knows about Walgreens, right? Which is a reason why their properties that they occupy are so popular in the world of in real estate investing, because everybody knows Walgreens. And they tend to have pretty good locations. You know, Walgreen locations are not in the middle of nowhere. They're usually very high trafficked, right on the corner where there is a stop-and-go signal to control traffic most of the time. Not all the time, but most. So they're in pretty good locations, too. So you can make the argument, well, let's just buy a Walgreens. Well, couldn't I say the same thing? I could. Especially where the healthcare industry is today, couldn't I make the argument that Walgreens may not be the most solid company that you'd want to invest millions of dollars, sign personally on millions of dollars of loans, and hope it all works out? Right? I could make that argument. I could, and I can make that argument for basically any kind of commercial property at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, you're really investing you're investing in real estate, sure, but you're really investing in the business that's going to occupy the real estate, aren't you? And how viable that business is going to be, how good that business is going to be, how strong that business is going to be. And if you know anything about business, and even if you don't know much, there's one thing that everybody knows. Things change all the time. What is hot today may not be hot a year from now. What works great today may not work great a year from now. And we've gone over a couple of examples already on this podcast. We could go over more. And so do you really want to elevate your risk level to that point? Okay. I would argue no. I don't think it's smart. And I think that you are really sticking your neck out there in areas that you don't want to stick your neck out on. Okay. So office buildings, you could say the same thing. Office buildings are probably the worst commercial investment to own, just because rarely do you have an office tenant that stays for a long time. When they move out and you want to move somebody in, usually you now have to spend a lot of money refurbishing the place to have it finished the way that the new tenant does, because a new tenant usually doesn't want the space that the old tenant occupied. It can be very expensive, time-consuming, and risky. Office investments can be. Okay. And so when you look at the world of commercial real estate investing, and by the way, I want to make sure that everybody understands that in no way am I saying that people should not invest in any of those examples that I've given and spent the time on so far. There are room for those kinds of investments for, I think, everyone. But you better well know what the risk levels are and what you're up against before you do. Because certainly they can be profitable. Heck, they can be even more predictable. Think about it. If I buy a Walgreens today, and Walgreens is going to be on a 10-year lease, I pretty much know what my income is going to be this year, next year, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 7 years from now. I know. I can't say that about an apartment building, can I? I can't. I don't know if every unit's going to be occupied this month, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. I don't know what the rental amount's going to be next year, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. I don't know that for sure. So I'm pretty much more in the dark in terms of how well my apartment property is going to be performing from an income standpoint, right? As I look into the future, then I know about my commercial properties, don't I? Right? I know what they're going to do. I don't know what my apartment property is going to do income-wise for sure, but I know pretty much for sure what the rent's going to be from my commercial properties, of course, as long as those tenants pay the rent. Right? So I'm not saying that you run away from these. I'm saying when you compare the two, do some thinking about risk, about the future. Where do you see trends going with certain kinds of businesses? Let me give you another quick example. I had some investment partners of mine a few years, this was some time ago. They were considering whether or not to buy an apartment community or two properties leased to Blockbuster Video. Hopefully you remember Blockbuster Video. They were the largest video rental company, and this was back in the days of VHS and even into DVDs, a company in the United States. They were deciding between the two. They chose apartments, thank goodness, because we all know that Blockbuster Video is now pretty much history, right? And so when you compare the two, you want to be thinking about volatility with those businesses that you're investing in if you're really considering a commercial property and where the trends are going. And you don't have to be an economic expert, have an MBA or a PhD in business to know where things are going and where things are headed, or have a feeling about where things are going or where things are headed, right? You can make a lot of your own predictions just walking around your community, walking around the retail areas of your city, walking around the residential areas of your city, seeing what's going on. Pretty easy to find out at least some things. And if you pay attention to news, you know what's going on nationally too. And so let's get back to my thoughts and recommendations. And let's talk about apartments. Apartments, less predictable, right? For reasons we've mentioned. But other than being less predictable, there really isn't any other reason why you'd want to consider a commercial property over an apartment property, is there? What other reasons would there be? Okay, so aside from this, aside from the outlier, okay, you know, not aside from the commercial property that could be purchased somehow, some way for pennies on the dollar and could be worth a lot more. So aside from the outliers, let's just talk in generalities for a second. Other than predictability, and other than buying a property somewhere for a cheap price, a commercial property, why else would you do that? It's not because of return, because most of the time, residential properties have better returns than commercial properties do. I'm talking in general, and we're not talking about any outliers now, okay? That's not it. Then I look at, well, let's look at income tax savings, for example. Let's look at that. I get more income tax savings by owning a residential property than I do a commercial property. So it's not because of income tax savings. The IRS allows me to take more of a deduction, more of a write-off for daily wear and tear on my residential than commercial. So that's not it. What other reason is there? The only one I can think of is trends. So let's think about trends and what you see coming. Let's all of us together look into our crystal balls and talk about where we see things going. I think the world of commercial real estate is going to become more volatile, not less, because I think companies now go through their evolutionary processes much faster, much quicker, over a shorter period of time than they used to. I mean, you know, gone are the days of anybody working for or working with a company for 35 or 40 years, because that company's pretty darn predictable from day one to, you know, whatever the last day is at the end of that 30 to 40 year period. It's not the same company. It used to be pretty much the same company way back when. That's not the case anymore. And so business, consumers, the economy change so often that I think the world of commercial investment real estate, commercial real estate, is more volatile than residential because of that. Okay. And again, there are outliers we could discuss, but we're just speaking in general. Okay. Residential. Will people always need a roof over their head? Yes or no? Yes, they will. Commercial. Will people always need Uber to go from point A to point B? Right now, Uber's in trouble as this podcast is being recorded anyway. They've lost, I saw last quarter, over $1 billion. In a quarter, they lost over $1 billion. But hey, they occupy a ton of space. They're leasing a ton of space, right? And so, you know, when their valuation was however many billions of dollars, you can bet that real estate investors were lining up to buy and own a property that they're leasing. Do you really want to be doing that right now? I don't think so. Maybe they get it turned around. I mean, I hope they do, but I don't think from an investment standpoint you want to go there. Again, because does everybody need an Uber right now? No, they don't. And you could say that about almost every kind of business that leases and makes payments to owners, investors that own those buildings. Right. Whereas people need a place to live, they always will. And so you project into the future. And as I said, I think the world of commercial real estate looks more volatile, but I think the world of residential real estate looks less volatile. Why? You will have more and more people wanting to and needing to rent versus own, bottom line. And I've said this many times, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. Okay? If you look at the trends, you look at what's going on, we're going to have more people wanting to rent or needing to rent this year, next year, year after, year after. It's just going to be the way it is. And not just because people need a place to live, but because of a long list of reasons that I've talked about in many other podcasts. I'll just name two really quick. One is affordability. Cost of living for everybody is going up much, much, much faster than their ability to cope and pay for that cost of living. So what do most people need to do? They need to rent. Okay. Being able to own and buy your own home or condo is a heck of a lot more difficult, more costly, and you better be more squeaky clean credit-wise than you used to be. Now, do you think most consumers anymore are getting better creditworthiness? Are they better from a creditworthiness standpoint as each day goes by, or do you think they're worse? They're worse. Do your research and find out how much in debt most people are, how behind most people are in some payments, and how their credit looks. It's going to get worse. Okay. Then there are the people that want to rent and look forward to renting for a long list of reasons. Now, again, am I saying that people will stop buying their own homes, stop buying their own condos, stop wanting to own their own home, or I'll just say want to own part of the American dream? Of course not. Of course not. People will still want to do that. As a matter of fact, today I drove through two developments here in Cedar Rapids, okay, that are under construction, even with the temperature the way it is, busy, things going on. So people are still buying homes and buying condos, of course, and they'll continue to do that. But the numbers will continue to shrink for buyers and owners and will continue to grow for tenants. There's no question about it. So when it comes down to where you see trends going, when it comes down to risk, I think really at the end of the day, you have to be looking more for residential versus commercial. And again, that's not to say that it's absolute that residential is always better than commercial or always trumps commercial. But for most investors that are looking to invest in real estate and take advantage of what real estate has to offer, I think you really want to be thinking more in terms of residential versus commercial for all of the reasons that we've talked about on this podcast. And so I hope this podcast gives you some things to think about, what we've covered today on this podcast, that is, especially as you start looking into more and more opportunities in the world of investment real estate, investing in real estate, and what kind of real estate to invest in at the end of the day. And not only do I hope what I've offered and covered on this podcast today with you give you some insight and some things to think about. I mean, there are a ton of resources out there to learn from, especially not only books, but also a lot of audio programs out there that cover a lot of the territory that we just don't have time for on this podcast that I would recommend if you do decide to become serious, especially towards commercial, you really get yourself well-educated before you jump in. All right? Have a great day. Have a great holiday, everybody. Depending on when you will listen to this, it will be Christmas or New Year's, more than likely, or sometime around there, or maybe later, depending on when you listen to this podcast. But I want to wish you a happy holidays and have a great day. All right, we'll see you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining Darren Garman's Paranoid Banker Podcast. For investment questions, comments, or to get in touch with Darren, go to www.garmanblog.com.